This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Earlier today, President Trump bowed to his critics and signed an executive order intended to halt the separation of illegal immigrant families at the border. Now, if you really believe the hysteria of this last week was about keeping immigrant children with their parents, then you probably assume Democrats are thrilled about this. They got what they demanded. They ought to be celebrating tonight, but they're not. They're still angry. Senator Kamala Harris of California tweeted this, quote, "This executive order doesn't fix the crisis. Indefinitely detaining children with their families in camps is inhumane and will not make us safe." Meanwhile, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut apparently dialed into the same talking points call. His response sounded eerily similar to his colleagues. Here's what he said, quote, "Indefinitely imprisoning children and their families is still inhumane and ineffective law enforcement." Well, by now you probably realize that, like most debates in Washington, this was never really about what they claimed it was about. They never are. The left doesn't believe that America has the right to stop poor people from coming over our southern border under any circumstances, legal or not. Okay, most voters disagree with that. Either way, it would be nice to have an honest national debate about all of this before the midterm elections. That would help everybody. That's the last thing Democrats want, though, because they would lose that debate. So rather than have it, they're whipping their supporters into a frenzy of mindless rage. You've seen it on cable television for the last week. That is, of course, the surest way to short-circuit rational thinking and conversation and get people to obey.
They're not about to engage, and that's really the bottom line here. It's not in their interest when they're looking at the survival of their party. Party is ahead of politics. Party is ahead of the country and the interests of the country. That's what this comes down to, sadly. And ever since Donald Trump got elected, that's what this has been all about. And meanwhile, 50% of the country, we're paying for this insanity. And Chuck Schumer coming out and saying, this is the president's problem. Well, the president, rightly so, dealing with DACA, first said, hey, you guys got to fix this problem. And, your party leader, Barack Obama, set this thing up. This thing's illegal. You know that. It's challengeable down the road. Let's get this squared away and do the right thing for these young people so that they're out of the shadows. I mean, you have to look at the greater good. But, of course, the media and the Democrats, because it all comes, they don't look at it that way. They don't look at it as what we're trying to do is dignify people in this country. We want people in this country who are here legal. I mean, the fact that we're talking about illegal, I mean, think about it. I mean, this is bizarre. You have people here illegal. What does that open up? All the other things that go along with things being illegal. There's no reason for them to respect the law. Maria Espinosa is going to be on with us next week. She's with the Remembrance Project. She's been on with us many times talking about the effect that illegal immigrants have had in our country because they don't respect the laws. They kill our kids. No big deal. They move on. They escape. They get out. They might, get incarcerated for a little bit. This the way we're handling it, it is absolutely insane. But, if we're considering humanity here, really what is humane, then we will do right for all, for the citizens and even for the immigrants coming across the border right now. And the fact that our border, as we said early on, has, in a sense, it's under siege. They've just come in such mass numbers. It's absolutely, to me, I look at the job that ICE, the border agents and everybody is doing there to try to manage this influx of people. And I think, wow, what a great job they're doing. And instead, the media says, oh, they're Nazis. Are you kidding me? I mean, what would you do? Forget about thousands of people storming, your doorway. But let's just say 20 people came to your doorway. How would you handle that? And 20 people that had problems, that they had needs, and they needed to be fed and comforted in that. You would be grabbing for cots and anything else that you could possibly do. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you want to make sure you protect these children because we don't even know if they're really family members. And, this girl here, that we're seeing she's got birth control pills, and she's been told by her family she has to have the birth control pills because the chances of her being raped are very high on her trek to America. What would you do?
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Okay, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, glad you could join us and share another piece of your day with us. Thank you so much. We don't take that for granted. This is why we work so hard to bring on the experts to talk about the things that you need to know about. And there's so much to discuss. And, you know, we've covered a lot of things, whether it has to do with our national security, Middle East, what's going on with North Korea. And now we're going to talk about trade. Because, yes, and we did talk about the border, and there will be continuing conversation on that because that's rather obvious. But so is trade and what is happening in our country right now. With us is Michael Stumo, Chief Executive Officer of the Coalition for a Prosperous America. It's a coalition of agriculture, manufacturing, and organized labor associations, companies, and individuals. CPA works for policies to balance USA trade, maintain U.S. sovereignty, and develop an effective national production and economic strategy. I say dilly dilly, Michael Stumo. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I am great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's talk about what's happening in trade. We've got this potential trade war. We knew when Donald Trump brought this up. I think people were rather naive to think that, hey, this was all going to go rosy. In any kind of negotiation, you got to let your partner know where you stand and what we're talking about, whether you're looking to get a raise at work or anytime you want to alter what has been tradition. You're going to get people say, well, I don't think you deserve that raise. Well, let's talk about it. And, in a little bit along the same way as what we're doing, it's just a bigger chessboard, is it not?
Well, that's true. And we've been the victim of a trade war by China and a few other countries for about 20 years. And we've just ignored it. Presidents Bush and Obama entered strategic economic dialogue with China, recognizing some of the problems. It went nowhere. Multilateral dialogue went nowhere. And now with the White House documenting in excruciating detail with hundreds of pages, the comprehensive commercial espionage by the government of China to grab key critical technologies for the industries of the future. In fact, the New York Times has had a striking article today about UMC, a government of China-owned company that stole, through spy novel-worthy tactics, chip technology from Micron. So it's long past time that there's a response so that those government-owned companies don't then benefit from selling back to the U.S. consumer.
Well, to your point here, Michael, and I don't mean to be hysterical here, but at some point in our history, what China is doing, we were so accepting of it, but some people would perceive this as almost an act of war by coming in and stealing intellectual property as they've been doing.
Yeah, we have the binary logic of are they an ally or are they an enemy? They use hard power, soft power, that sort of thing. But we're now getting new terms like strategic competitor, which is what they are, which is what the national security strategy said in January. in December and January, the National Defense Strategy, both of which are annual reports to Congress, called out China's predatory economics. Even the incoming investment, everybody says, well, we love to have all kinds of incoming investments. That's good for us. And, well, not everything. And China has actually perfected the art of weaponized investment, where they come here and buy up our critical technologies for military infrastructure and other key needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, and look, just a minor case in point, you know, the Solyndra case, which people don't like to talk about. And, you know, here we have a non-business guy, the president at the time, Barack Obama. He gets, $500 million of the people money, of the people's money, and invests it in a sense in Solyndra, and then allows the Chinese to come in and underbid and blow up our investment. And it's like, oh, hum, no big deal. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's a disaster.
Yeah, that's a great example. The Solyndra case really was about China predation. We really need to get better at industrial strategy and be able to. Now, we invented solar cell technology. And there's a lot of spin-off technologies that come from that. It's like a core technology for industries of the future, one of many. And we invented it. Now China put up government-sponsored factories, you know, many factories, produced overcapacity, flooded the world market, and took out most other countries' solar industries, which is why Trump put up the 201 tariffs in January, which were bemoaned, but now are causing reinvestment into solar cell capacity in the U.S.
Mm. Well, Michael, I've always maintained when somebody gets an idea, however you want to perceive it, I believe that it's, in a sense, it's God-given. I'm a man of faith, so that's what I draw from and see it. And what my experience has been is when God gives you an idea, you own, you know, in a sense, that's your idea. And it's a seed that needs to be taken to the next level. What China's been able to do with the intellectual property is they've been able to take, you know, that bud, for example, but to take it to the next generation and development still comes back to the host and the person that was utilized as the agent for that original idea. Do you follow me? Is this making sense?
I do.
And so I think that what should happen here in terms, I mean, because we can fight over intellectual property and we get over all that fussing and stuff that goes on. And not that I'm saying that it shouldn't be protected. It shouldn't be protected. But I would put a lot of effort into encouraging, you know, the original inventor idea source and saying, okay, look, we got to take this to the next level and let's focus on that, because we can drive ourselves nuts chasing down the violation. You know, let the government handle that. You focus on further development of this idea because it is in you. And it's been given to you to this level. As you say, this solar cell technology is a core. It is a core element to what's going to be coming down the road. I don't think the Chinese are capable of taking it down the road. I believe that we are, because we're the ones that invented it, and that's what we need to focus on. And meanwhile, Donald Trump can and the next president can, you know, be concerned about battling the intellectual property issue. And let's focus on where we get it to the next level as quickly as possible, and let solar cell technology take off.
Right, right. Well, the Chinese are not that great at innovations. That's why they steal it. Of course, you're getting better at that too. But there's other steps. You've got to commercialize it. You've got to get the scale. You've got to get the standards right, and then you've got to get, well, getting to scale is a big deal.
Right.
When we invented LED light technology. We have about one or two companies left. They have 300. Mm-hmm. They again flooded the world market. One of our companies that are our members, Invensa, has wind power computer control systems, so windmills can talk to each other. They were joint venturing with a Chinese government-owned company. That company stole the technology, kept my member company out, and now it's 20 to 30% of the windmills in China run on this stolen technology, and 750 employees had to be laid off with my member company. So there's a lot of different issues going on, but the point is that they, when they steal and then try to take out the original owners or the original folks over here and benefit from selling to the U.S. consumer market. That's what the president is addressing. And China, by the way, has not admitted it's doing anything wrong.
No, of course not.
Actually, yeah. A report by the president showed 35 different methods by which they engage in these tactics. So it's pretty large-scale and comprehensive.
Michael, we got to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about some remedy here. Stay with us. Michael Stumo right here on Bill Martinez Live.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, I know you hear my cry. Your love is lifting me above all the light.
makes this country great are the American people who dream big dreams, people of faith that believe in their God, that have done incredible things historically in this country. You know, earlier I was philosophizing, and this is my own personal philosophy in terms of, you know, having an idea and that God gives you this idea to develop. And my experience has been that when he gives you that idea, that you can take it to fulfillment. Other people can steal it, and, you know, it's almost as good, but it's not. You know, it's kind of like the old days that when they had that commercial, you know, with IBM and Xerox, and IBM was going against Xerox, and they say it's as good as the Xerox, but it only costs you a fourth. Well, how is that possible? You know, common sense tells you it's not the case, but you know, we get a little bit of that dynamic, and in a sense, it's easy to philosophize. But what Michael brings to bear here in perspective that's so important here is that what we're talking about are thousands upon thousands of families here in this country who have worked hard. They've created this idea, and then all of a sudden you get kicked in the gut. I've had my ideas stolen, and it is a kick in the gut. But what helps me get over is this overarching philosophy that says, hey, I am the owner. I am the proprietor of that original idea, and I have found that to work. But it's difficult when it's your gut that's been kicked. And you're looking out and you've got employees that you've had to let go because you've been unfairly treated. And I think that's something that you learn in the sandbox of kindergarten and of life initially as children, that we find out real quick when things aren't fair. When things aren't fair, they're not fair. And this is what's going on. And we're grateful that we have a president who has called this out. He called it out in the campaign. It captured the attention of people who had been kicked in the gut for decades, you know, by the Chinese and other bad players that Michael referred to earlier. Michael, what do we do about this? I mean, is there a remedy? I mean, the World Trade Council has not been a good friend, and they have not been a resolver of these issues. What do we do?
Sure. The World Trade Organization has been extremely ineffective, and it's being marginalized these days. So what the president has done is first targeted $50 billion in Chinese imports with a 25% tariff to at least take away the benefit of their reselling stolen technology made from products made from stolen technology to the U.S. consumer market. And, you know, if you do you can do a case-by-case approach. That's good, where you can actually get if the Chinese company is actually in the U.S., operating in the U.S. and trying to sell here, then if you get a judgment, you can actually attach their assets and collect. But a lot of this is exclusively in China. When they, imagine if in this country, if we wouldn't let foreign companies sell here unless they located here. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't let them locate here unless they joint ventured with a U.S. government-owned company.
Right.
And we wouldn't let them joint venture unless they brought interesting technology. And then that joint venture would take that technology, give it to other government-owned companies to then outcompete the foreign company that came here. That's one of the 35 methods that they use in China. But when they are doing, like in the case of the windmill control systems I just mentioned, where AMSC or American Superconductor had their technology stolen. It's used exclusively in China. They do have judgments here, but you can't get at the Chinese because the Chinese won't pay because they're only in China. They're not here.
Of course. Right. Yeah, there's no leverage here. And now we're starting to exercise this leverage. But, Michael, explain to the audience, because, you know, people here, you know, the media is going, oh, you know, trade wars, all this stuff. Like anything, there's going to be a bit of a curve to go through. I call it a learning curve experience here. We are learning the hard way because of past sins that we're trying to reconcile here. So we've got to get through this process. And what this process means is that we're going to get through a little bit of pain, are we not?
Yeah, there's going to be some transition costs going on here. And I mean, the big picture is that we need to go through this transition to rebalance things in order for us to have an economy in 20 years and have jobs in 20 years so that we're not merely a third world natural resource producer for Asian industrial powers, that we're selling commodities and natural gas and they're selling us back advanced products. But in the meantime, we've got to get good at minimizing those transition costs. And, oh, by the way, every country in the world that has gone from poor to rich actually has used a combination of tariffs, industrial strategy, and in recent decades, devaluing their currency to get there, whether it's South Korea, Japan, or China. They use tariffs. They use their industrial strategy to go from poor. You know, Korea was poor after the war in the 1960s, Japan, et cetera. They used a very comprehensive strategy to take out the incumbent superpower, or at least the economic power, which was the U.S., and it actually worked, you know, pretty well for them. Mm-hmm. And so if you get it right, this, you know, tariffs and industrial strategy are actually pro-growth rather than anti-growth. But you got mm-hmm. you can get it right or you can get it wrong, but they got it right.
Michael, here we are bogged down in this country, whether it's health insurance, immigration policies, and that. Donald Trump has a vision, a clear vision on this. And he has gone where some might say fools have feared to tread and thrown himself head on into the deep end of the pool here. Does he have the necessary support in a limited amount of time to realize, you know, his vision for this country?
Yeah, a lot of what he's doing, you just cannot unring this bell, even if you get a new president in 2020, because the even those that say, oh, you can't be, you know, that believe in free trade. In fact, free trade is largely a fiction. It's a pink unicorn. It's never really been seen. The world is a strategic trade world. That's what he's recognized. Mm-hmm. And the trade hawks like Peter Navarro, the White House advisor, or Bob Lighthizer, the trade ambassador, know this and you know are driving this policy. But people that are didn't want to do anything are saying yeah, we've got to do something about China and the strategic competitor. And even the New York Times and the Economist magazine, which are the free trade cheerleaders and wanted to bring China and the World Trade Organization, are now saying that was a mistake. But there is some barriers in Congress. Congress is still focused on trying to prevent the president from doing what he needs to do on trade. So that's a mm-hmm. problem.
Well, if we solve the China problem, do we solve all the other problems? I mean, do we come up with some sort of, I hate one size fits all, but I mean, you got to imagine if you, at least in my own brain, is that if we solve the China issue, and not even solve it 100%, but if we make some headway there, it's got to naturally affect the other trade relationships, does it not?
Well, it does, but this is going to be a longer term move and counter move scenario, because China's building its economy on overproducing, you know, commercial theft strategies to overproduce and to shift their overcapacity to willing open economies like the U.S. And they have to totally reorient their strategy. I mean, I told you there was 35 different tactics they use for commercial espionage. If they agree to say, okay, we did some wrong things, we'll stop 7 of them.
Right. Yes.
They still have, 25 plus left to use.
It's like we're dealing with Iran or North Korea here.
Right. So how you compromise in that scenario, the best you can do is deny them their growth engine, which is the U.S. consumer market, and build more homegrown technology to fill the gap so that U.S. companies sell more to the American consumers, which has been a problem. But Germany and Japan are also problems on a different level. So there's more to be done.
Well, Michael Stumo, we appreciate the insight. We're glad that you could come on and break it down for us, because we got to get out of the realm of the fake news in this political environment and take a look at the facts for what they are. And I appreciate you being with us. I look forward to having you back and keeping us up to date, because we've got to keep the people informed on the facts and the truth as best we know, and get it away from some. We're long on opinion and short on facts, and we need more facts here, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Michael is the Chief Executive Officer of the Coalition for a Prosperous America. I'm Bill Martinez. We're coming on 29 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us.
Money, 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 money. You got to have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Agreement on immigration bills in the U.S. House still elusive. Yesterday, a hardline immigration bill went down to defeat when 40 Republicans joined all Democrats in voting no on it. President Trump saying at a cabinet meeting later,
"We have come up with a lot of solutions, but we have Democrats that don't want to approve anything because that's probably, they think, bad for the election that's coming up."
Republicans were going to bring a more moderate immigration bill up for a vote today, but that's now been moved to next week. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise says,
"We spent a lot of time going through some of the lines of demarcation, some of the areas where we have real disagreement. We're trying to work through them."
This morning, a frustrated President Trump tweets Republicans should forget about immigration reform until after the midterm elections. This is USA Radio News.
June is Oral Health Month and the perfect time to brush up on the importance of ingredients in your oral care routine. Dental hygienist Linda Hurst has more.
When it comes to the health of your teeth and gums, ingredients matter. Just as you're mindful of the ingredients in your food, you also need to be aware of the ingredients in your toothpaste. Look for a toothpaste with a natural dental ingredient like baking soda, which is the foundation of Arm & Hammer toothpaste.
Hurst says it's important to choose the right toothpaste since they're not all created equal.
When you brush with Arm & Hammer toothpaste, you notice the baking soda difference. It's a clean you can feel. That's because baking soda penetrates hard-to-reach areas between teeth and along the gum line, while also neutralizing the harmful plaque acids that form in the mouth.
According to Hurst, baking soda has more benefits than just cleaning.
As you eat and drink throughout the day, stains attach to the tooth surface, embedding into the sticky bacterial plaque. The baking soda and Arm & Hammer toothpaste helps dissolve the sticky plaque and gently lifts away stains, leaving your teeth whiter and more polished.
That's certainly something to smile about. For more on the benefits of baking soda, visit armandhammer.com.
Live. Back with the America, as always, I'm glad you could stop in and share a part of your day with us, and especially when we have people like you, Lou Euler, around. I don't know why, you Euler. I always want to somehow mix your last name in your first name, and there's just something dysfunctional. This is not Spanish. You see, if you did it in Spanish, I can understand, you know. Luis Euler, he's our man. Yes, Lou Euler. He's the founder and president of the National Tax Limitation Committee, and thank God he has a sense of humor. Lou, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. It's great to be with you once again.
Well, you're there in the Beltway, the belly of the beast, all kinds of buzz around the town. We had the IG report coming out. Horowitz and, Chris Wray were, talking to Congress, trying to make some sense out of this report and to convince us that bias means no bias. And that's a whole other discussion. And, of course, a lot of flares up right now at the border with this parent-child separation thing, Lou.
You bet. But, we're here to talk with members of the House and Senate and some really great people who have been the source of the tax reform, major legislation of the Republican-Trump alliance thus far, and it is going to be a game changer in November. The Democrats, as you know, not a one of them voted with us on tax reform. They have elected to challenge us and claim that they will repeal it if they take charge of the Congress in November. And so it has incentivized all of us who know how important to growth, economic growth of America, tax reform is, to double up and our work on letting people know the benefits that have been derived by the nation, across the nation, from tax reform.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, Lou, it doesn't make sense when you have Nancy Pelosi and Schumer spouting that, you want us back in leadership because we're going to get rid of those taxes. All that extra money you had in your pocket, we don't think you're smart enough to know what to do with that discretionary income. You just spend your money like drunken sailors. So we're going to save you from that bad habit, and we're going to take your money and assign it in better places. I mean, because, that kind of brilliant thinking has brought our country to $21 trillion in debt. What a brilliant plan, right?
Exactly, and you have it exactly right. This issue of tax reform is as much a family and family values issue as it is anything to do with economics, because this allows the family to decide how to spend that much more of what they earn, allocate it themselves, not turn that decision-making over to bureaucrats in Washington. So this is the real difference between a free America and an America run by a long-term civil service, deep-seated, deep-rooted, anti-American approach.
Yeah, Lou, it's kind of interesting because the Democrats seem to be, morally animated these days. And to me, with what they want to do with the people's money is questionably immoral, is it not?
Absolutely. And when you think that the average family is now getting more in their paycheck because of the tax cut and because of the economic growth that has now reached about 4% this quarter, when you begin to reach that level, now you are increasing salaries and the wages that people are receiving. So they're winning on several fronts, and they get to direct that to the benefit of their family interest rather than the U.S. government interest.
And Lou, what I'm seeing here, and tell me if this is what you're seeing as well, is I think this is an upgrade opportunity for America's employee base, that there is gold and then there are hills, and gold by way of hourly wage increases. Forget about minimum wage. I mean, we can start looking at maximum wage just through this natural process that's happening now, is that we've got more jobs than people now. And I got to think that, the era of employees as a commodity is going by the wayside, that if you're worth your salt and you're willing to go in and put a good day's work and rise to the top as cream does, boy, this is a golden opportunity for you to really maximize your employability and your hourly rate.
Absolutely, and it's what it's doing for the nation and individuals in our nation is broadening the workforce. More
yes.
people coming back, more people working longer hours, more people manning the oars, and then there's a fallout benefit. Look what happened just recently in Seattle. The Seattle City Council decided that they were going to impose a $250 a month head tax for a year, whatever
right.
it was, but a head tax on employment in the city of Seattle. Well, the main employers, Starbucks and Amazon and all the rest, just raised Ned, and by golly, the city council had to reverse that head tax. So we're getting a peripheral benefit from the attitude toward taxation that is coming out of tax reform.
What, so they got scared when they saw those moving boxes being dropped off at all these retail outlets, and they were looking for new locations outside of Seattle?
Exactly what happened. And, all these cities around the nation that are competing with each other for the next large Amazon distribution
right.
center have had to rethink their outlook. And so it's a very, very positive fallout from the tax reform.
Hey, Lou, there in D.C., what is the talk about the trade wars that's going on? Right now we've got a little bit of game of chicken, it seems, going on with China. Canada is still, they're conflicted. And Mexico has always been conflicted, so we you don't expect much change there, but we're particularly keeping an eye on what's going on with China. What's the scuttlebutt there?
Well, the general attitude, I think, is let's not increase the cost of goods and services to the people of the United States by just willy-nilly increasing the cost of imports and that sort of thing. And I think this is going to work itself out as we get the balance between the interests of American citizens, American companies, American workforce, American products being competitive with the world trade, and so it'll sort itself out. And but you have to go through a process to get there.
Right, I'm with you on that. I'm not as scared as some people, of course, but I am not directly infected, you know, by or affected by this. Some farmers are, and other industries they're looking at it because there's going to be a little bit of a, you might say, a process. Expense learning curve or adjustment curve that's going to take place until this levels out. That's the challenge. And, you know, people are freaking out. The stock market's gone a little wigging, and you expect that. I mean, anytime the wind blows suddenly, the stock market, you know, rattles a little bit. We've been trained to that response. But I, like you, I'm optimistic. This president is much smarter than people want to give him credit for. I don't think he's going to take it into the tank here, but this is how you negotiate. That's the art of the deal, isn't it?
That's right, and you know, you're absolutely right to kind of evaluate President Trump on the basis of the art of the deal. I think we have seen that in the North Korean escapade, and he's not going to change tariffs and make all kinds of changes that will adversely affect either the producers or consumers of America, because this is his home too. These are his people. He knows what it's all about, and he knows how to negotiate.
Well, Lou, we'll give you the last word at that. Appreciate you being on with us every week to keep us up to date. Where can people go? The website to stay in touch?
Absolutely, to limittaxes.org, and we'll have all of the latest information there on what has happened and the benefits and training for tax reform advocates as we go through November.
Lou Euler, founder president of the National Tax Limitation Committee, one of the nation's leading grassroots taxpayer lobbies. Lou, as always, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A recent survey found 65% of Americans use a rewards credit card, yet many don't utilize their full benefits. International travel expert Lee Abamonte explains how your banking relationship can boost your credit card rewards.
Many credit cards reward you for spending. I love the Bank of America Premium Rewards credit card because I earn 2 points for every dollar I spend on dining and travel purchases. Above and beyond those base points, I recommend you also check to see if you qualify for a banking rewards program to really maximize your rewards earnings. For example, if you're enrolled in the Bank of America Preferred Rewards program, you could earn between an additional 25 to 75% in bonus points with the Premium Rewards card, which totals up to 3.5 points for every dollar spent on travel and dining purchases. Plus, Preferred Rewards clients may be eligible for an additional benefits such as free withdrawals at non-Bank of America ATMs, as well as discounts on home and auto loans.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. That's where all the information lies. 14 minutes before the top of the hour right now. We got Kurt Smith with us, and Kurt is an incredible gentleman, an author, and acclaimed chronicler of baseball. He's been radio and TV broadcasting from 1921 to the present, a monumental chronicle of baseball radio TV adopted for ESPN TV. That was his special feature. Many books, articles, and just a rich history about baseball. And what he brings to us now is The Presidents and the Pastime, a history of baseball and the White House. Kurt Smith, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Well, Bill, great to be with you.
Wow, what a wonderful book! I got to tell you, I grew up in baseball. We had a baseball family, so early on in our lives, and you know, talking about you know, the players and you know the presidents and this sort of thing. This was so much in my wheelhouse, and I so enjoyed your commentary and what you bring to the conversation here. Thank you.
Well, Bill, you're very kind, and you know something? We have a lot of company, because I think, particularly in the age when American history was taught, we were weaned on this.
Yes.
We could name the presidents, and of course, baseball, my goodness. I asked Bob Costas once, we talked about our baby boom background, and independently we came to the same conclusion. What did baseball mean to us? It meant everything.
Exactly.
So we had generations that... The National Office of the Presidency and the National Game of Baseball were two institutions central to our life. And it was shocking to me when I began doing research on this that no one had ever written a book exhaustively and chronicling the twinning of the heart. That is the relationship between these two.
Yeah, most amazing that politics and baseball could come together and cohabitate in a very powerful and dynamic manner, right?
Oh, absolutely. Going back, well, first of all, even before the Republic, to George Washington playing baseball with his aide-de-camp or at Valley Forge, or Abraham Lincoln playing baseball, town ball, on the White House lawn, or White Lot, as it was then called, and then bringing baseball inside to the corridors, or William Howard Taft throwing out the first ball in 1910, the first pitch ritual that has become a relic of spring, or Franklin D. Roosevelt after Pearl Harbor, telling the commissioner of baseball that baseball must be played during the war because of its morale, helping morale here at home on the home front, and, of course, above all, the troops above in the European and the Atlantic theaters. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that baseball should return the favor and induct Franklin Delano Roosevelt into the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown, New York, because he saved baseball. That's the kind of marriage, if you would, between the two that has been absolutely indigenous to baseball and to the end of the presidency that we grew up and loved.
Were you always drawn to the history of baseball and the presidents, or is this something just recent?
Well, I don't remember when I was five too well, but my mother does. And she tells me that I would get, it was a middle-class background in a middle-class small town in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. And my parents bought us from the traveling salesman the volume of World Book Encyclopedias.
Right.
And my mom says that I would go out with literally milk and graham crackers and look hour after hour at the World Book. And I gravitated to what? To baseball and the presidents. I remember, reading about Washington and Lincoln and even Andrew Jackson and Eisenhower and people like that. I fell in love. Mm-hmm. So did you. And so did tens of millions of Americans. And that's what this book is all about.
Did the fact that the president's so connected with this sport, is this one of the reasons why it became America's favorite pastime?
Oh, I think so. Woodrow Wilson loved it. It was a soul refuge when he had a stroke and incapacitated him. William Howard Taft loved it to such an extent that he saw a game in each league the same day. You tried doing
that. Wow.
Dwight Eisenhower loved it to the extent that he played amateur baseball before he went to West Point. Almost got him in trouble. John F. Kennedy loved it. His grandfather inaugurated Fenway Park by throwing out the first pitch in 1912. Mm-hmm. Richard Nixon loved it with an endearing Walter Mitty kind of capacity. He was a terrible athlete, but a great student of the game. Mm-hmm. To such an extent, 1965, he was offered within 3 months, Bill, the directorship of the Players Union. He declined, and then he was offered the commissionership of baseball, which he declined because, as he later said, he had other plans. They include running for and winning the presidency in 1968. My former boss, George Herbert Walker Bush, for whom I wrote speeches from 1989 through 1973, he loved it. He told me once that he picked up a bat when he was five, and he swung it, and he knew then that he loved the game. Why, I asked him, he said, because baseball has everything. What a wonderfully precise and concise way of expressing why we fell in love with the game.
Yeah, and I think it's well said what the former president had to share with us, because, first of all, the first time you pick up a bat and you come in contact with a ball and you got that sweet feeling of a hit, whether it's a rope single or a home run over the fence, there is just something real special about that, isn't there, Kurt?
Well, it's not called the sweet spot for nothing.
Exactly.
And, with Bush, though, God bless him, he turned 94 2 days ago, and America's longest-living president. But he was a spectacular captain and first baseman of his team at Yale.
Yes.
Fielding-wise, to such an extent, a scout told me, big league, that had the position of designated fielder existed, Bush could have made the majors easily and possibly the Hall of Fame. But you know what, Bill? Like me, possibly you, and tens of millions of people, he couldn't hit a lick. So, God bless him. And, Donald Trump. Donald Trump was a fine ball player and could have made the major leagues. He was almost signed by the Red Sox and by the Phillies. But as he said, I didn't want baseball money. I wanted to make real money. John F. Kennedy, whom I mentioned, had a bad back, or otherwise he could have played baseball. Gerald Ford was a fine athlete. People think football. He played baseball quite well in addition. So Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan began his career by recreating baseball games where you invent and embellish games.
And this was amazing, too, when you think about it. I mean, and you consider radio as the theater of the mind. You and I grew up under that concept, Kurt.
Yes.
And here he is. I mean, he is recreating a game out of his own imagination and what he's picking up on. I mean, it was absolutely unique and extraordinary.
Oh, so true. Reagan would be at WHO Des Moines in Iowa at a studio. Someone would be at a game at Wrigley Field in Chicago, and they would send Reagan Morse code. It would say B10. What does that mean? Means ball 1-0. What, and then he'd get a slip. S1S. That means strike one is swinging. And Reagan had to embellish, recreate what had just happened. And he did so beautifully that Dutch Reagan, as he was called, became more riveting than the game himself. Reagan once told me in connection with another book I was writing, he said, merging fact and fiction. What better training for politics?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I also like that you made a note about Harry Truman. Very few people would have realized that he was ambidextrous, right?
He was.
Yeah.
Yes, or amphibious, as Yogi Berra would say.
Leave it to Yogi.
He threw the ball left-handed one year, right-handed the next year. One year, used both hands, put them over his head, cupped it, and threw it. He had a blast. Yeah. No one had more fun on opening day than Harry Truman. Yeah. And Bess's wife, the boss, as Harry called her, was a savant, a student of the game. Yeah. She would get a radio or television, and she would sit on the newly built Truman balcony of the White House. And Bill, she would listen or watch to the Wolf of Washington Senators day after day after day. That was her life during the spring and summer, during the late 40s and early 50s in Washington, D.C.
You know, your book is so fun because when we talk about presidents and the pastime, the history of baseball and White House, whenever you think about athletes, you know, they're a comedy act in and of themselves. And when you can laugh about politics, you can really, you know, stretch the stomach muscles a little bit in a good way. And maybe that's what's missing. Maybe you're going to bring back some humor to our country with the presidents and the pastime here because of some of the anecdotal stories that you have to share here, Kurt. I can't thank you enough. It's really special.
Well, Bill, you're very kind. Reagan once told me that if it's in a speech or in a book or in a magazine piece, if you've got 15 facts and one story and the story told well, it's the story people remember.
Exactly.
This book has one fact after another, 466 pages, how could it not? But it is one story after another because that's how human beings relate.
Well, what do you see for the future between politics and baseball? I mean, we got more of the same. It just keeps on going because football hasn't gone the way of the NFL and some of these other knuckleheads that want to, you know, compromise their brand. They've stayed pure to the pastime.
I think any time you involve politics, left or right, in any sport, you are asking for trouble, and the NFL shows that, and basketball does too. Baseball so far has been very wise to avoid that. I think Donald Trump, who, as I said, almost made the major leagues, should begin throwing out the first ball again. Mm-hmm. I think he should man up and go to a national park. I think he is uniquely positioned right now to reinstate that ritual. I would hope that whoever is the next president, whenever that should be, would do the same because it's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. It's an all-winner.
Exactly.
Everyone gains from this. Everyone loves the marriage, if you would, of these two great institutions. Bill, this has made us what we are.
Yeah.
This unites us.
And
this brings us together.
And your book reminds us of that, too, Kurt Smith. And again, I thank you for the presidents in the past time, the history of baseball in the White House. It'll be linked on our website and available at all the usual places, correct?
Correct.
And you got a website? You got a website you want to direct people to?
Yes, KurtSmith.USA.
There it is. Kurt Smith on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Kurt.
Appreciate it, Bill, very much.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.